Hello, everyone. Welcome on back to the 40K segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. I have returned, Visa Morgado, leading you back into the promised land. Joining me, as per the usual, Mr. Alexander Gonzalez.
Okay, dude.
I had to style on my way back. And Mr. Michael Schwartz.
Welcome back, Vince. I hope you enjoyed your stay.
All 132 listeners of you. We are just going to be talking about one event in particular, one of the highlights of the 40K calendar, the 2019 Nova Invitational and Grand Tournament. We are going to start with the Invitational just because we know most of these names and it's a lot of fun to talk shit about all of them. And we're going to run down the bracket, talk about what we think might be in their list based on the breakdown we have, and then kind of make our predictions all the way from the round of 16 into the finals and eventual champions. So, just starting at the top and working our way down. The number one overall seed, last year's champion, and I think at one point, multi-year in a row champion, Tony Kopach? He won a couple times?
I do believe so, yeah.
Many, many moons ago. Playing Mr. Alexander Ng, bringing Necrons. That should be interesting. Alex Fennel with, I'm just going Eldar and Dark Eldar. Fuck that.
Suriani and Dukari.
Yeah, Eldar and Dark Eldar. Playing, facing down John Lennon and his Custodes.
Good match.
The King in the North, Jim Vessel, playing Thousand Sons and Demons, because what else was he going to play? And against Ben Sherwin with Eldar, Dark Eldar. Gosh, I wonder if that list has any relation to Alex's. Justin Curtis of Team Happy facing off against Tyler DeVries. Andrew Gagno against Austin Wingfield. Kurt
Hold
Klaus
on, hold on. Andrew Gagno versus Austin Wingfield. I got to say, being someone who's really stoked about Chaos Knights, I'm like, oh man, that one matchup I don't want to see is something like AdMech and Custodes. So when I see AdMech and Custodes, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, hey, so how good do those four ups feel when you're facing down that many Caladius?
Oh, man, it's gonna be a game. Dice are gonna be rolled.
Way to go, John Madden.
John Madden had much more incisive commentary than that. Kurt Klaus, Eldar, Dark Eldar. Gosh, I wonder what that list is going to be against Steven Juice 4 with Gene Stealer Colt. Nick Nanavati with Gene Stealer Colt against Devin Swan's Tau. I'm going to try this name. If I get it wrong, I hope the gentleman will forgive me. Matt Shukman? With it looks like just Eldar, Dark Eldar, and then against Chris Blackman with another Gene Stealer Colt. So right away, folks, if you look at this, you can pretty much see what people think are the top lists. You're looking at a lot of AdMech and Custodes, a lot of Gene Stealer Colt, and a lot of Eldar. I think that's more than half the list just in those three factions.
Now, I will say, you got to say out loud here that a lot of the lists are not viewable at this time.
Correct.
And it is important to note that for Austin Wingfield, it is actually not just Chaos Knights. It's Chaos Knights and Chaos Space Marines and Demons. So there is a chance.
Oh, so something might in his list might actually be competitive?
I mean, honestly, three knights and a mix of like Renegade Guard or like honestly three knights and three Lord Discos are nothing to fuck with.
That would be bad.
That would be a crazy nutty list, especially when you have like all the cultists sprinkled around just to grab stuff. So I think that actually is going to be a lot more of a list. Just the format that we're looking at right now, we're not able to see a good view of all these extra kind of details. So all we saw was Chaos Knights for a sec. I got to actually say, there was a little bit of controversy here involved, because if you guys can count them with me, I see one, two, three.
Gene Stealer Colt lists.
Exactly. And a metric fuck ton of Eldar lists, but surprise, surprise, that's always going to be there. So there were some things taken into account with Gene Stealer Colt, and it caused a little bit of a stir a little earlier in this week, since by the time we are, you know, our fine and beautiful listeners are actually hearing this, we are going to be well into Nova. But, you know, when there are kind of big changes to a way a faction's core mechanic work, and they're not necessarily put into, say, a newsletter or something like that, it can be very difficult, especially when people find out through things like screenshots or Reddit. But, you know, with Gene Steeler cult players, there is going to be a lot there. Because there's stratagems and abilities like Return to the Shadows or Sky Leap, which takes a unit off a table and returns it later, continue to work after turn three. And Gene Stealer Cult units, which have been changed from being deployed in ambush to be deployed and then changed to be deployed underground via they come from a rogue, come from below, must now still arrive by turn three, which can kind of screw with a little bit of the mechanics here of a lot of the Gene Stealer Cult players, because they won't be able to just, you know, pick and choose when things can come out as much, especially when they're now going to be hard capped for turn three or anything that does come from below. And I think that that caused a lot of people to think that it was needlessly malicious.
Oh my God. Shout out to everyone's favorite shit talking group on the internet. I'm trying to look up some list information we have for Tony and or Alexander by going into the old ITC rankings.
No, John Lennon is playing Custodes. He's been playing the ITC mostly as Gene Stealers. This is going to be, I think, his second tournament, at least ITC tournament, as an Imperium player. Everything else is NIDs or Gene Stealers. So we could have easily had four Gene Stealer players.
Thank God we didn't. Three is more than enough.
Oh, you know, anything that takes away from as many Eldar players. Not to say that I don't like Eldar players, but like I mean, like, what's the over under of these four?
Here we go.
Gene Stealer, Eldar lists being like 85% same.
I would argue. I mean, at this top level, there's going to be some creativity involved. There's going to be some units that you sometimes don't see, but yeah, I mean, you're probably going to see 80% of the lists are going to be the same, and then that 20% is like how each player is slightly different in how they approach the game and how they use their.
You're gonna see Ganyo's list, and just to fuck with everyone, he's not gonna have Caladiuses, and he's gonna have like three of the Telmarn dreadnoughts.
Yeah, because that's how Ganyo rolls.
You're gonna see them, and then your opponents are just gonna be like, "What? Like, what does that do?
Wait, that doesn't hover. What's going on here?" I do, you know, I do like the seeding system they have here, and as someone who very recently was a bottom seed, you know, I do feel for Alexander here. He has not put up the same kind of results as just about anybody else on this list. I'm looking at his 2019 season, and while it's certainly, you know, nothing for us, especially not me, to laugh at all, my man has struggled in large tournaments.
Isn't it just an honor to be invited?
Sure.
I mean, you never know.
We'll call it that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say think it's safe to say this is an easy favorite to pick here between Tony and Alexander.
They both had a lot of successes.
Yeah, John is really stepping outside his comfort zone to go with Custodes for this event. Every event he's played this year, and by the way, he's taken first at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven combined RTTs and GTs this year, and finished second, sixth, and seventh at majors. So John is no stranger at all to the big stage, and he has performed well at them. I'm really impressed that he's taken a list that probably he's either never run or only run, you know, in preparation for this event. And it's also not exactly one would call a preferable matchup for Custodes.
I don't know. Like, I think the Custodes have all the rerolls, the plus all the very efficient shooting. They could do a lot better against the Dark Elder combo. Oh, and Harlequins. I don't even know what the hell is that going to be like. But, man, right, fair point.
You don't fight flyers with single shot shooting. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, lucky for him, he's got like those freaking Caladius tanks are like 8 shot shooting. So, you know.
Yeah, I just, you know, This is not, he's going to have a hard time assaulting anything if he does go that route. If he tries the castle, he's giving up the whole board, and the Flyers are just going to run wild. There are, you know, between 6 and 9 of them, meaning that he can soak damage with a few of them and then back off.
Fair point.
And, you know, a low model count army of pure custodes, that's exactly what Eldar Flyers want to be fighting.
All right, you have proven your point. Sorry, John.
I mean, it is an 8-9 matchup, which anyone who knows anything about March Madness knows that that's basically a coin flip.
Hey, you never know.
Exactly. You know, this is where the trolling could begin here, is if John were to knock off Alex with pure custodes.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of trolling, we're going to see Jim Vessel's Thousand Sons and Demons against what is most likely an Eldar Dark Eldar Flyer list. Nothing is going to die in this game.
I can just see the Flyers trying to shoot at the 60 Plague Bears, and it's just the Plague Bears going there. They're like those little blow up doll things, those like punching bag ones. They're like, I'm not going anywhere.
I think a good strategy for Jim is to literally block the movement of the Flyers so they have nowhere to go.
He could almost do like an old fashioned infantry square with the plague bears and just put all the characters in the middle of it.
Wow, man!
I mean, the Flyers are not a bad. Actually, it's not honestly a terrible matchup if you just looked at, you know, presumptive lists, because the Eldar are going to be able to jump right across the line of the Plague Bears and at least possibly have a shot if Jim were to make mistakes. But
yeah,
let's, you know, do we want to give odds on that happening? I don't think so.
I say Jim goes on to the quarterfinals.
The Elite Eight.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I'm assuming Tony will go to the Elite Eight.
Yeah. We'll have Tony. I'm going to pick, you know what? I'm going to get crazy. I'm going to go John coming out of the Alex John matchup. Not
that crazy. I think Alex is going to do it. All right.
Yeah. Definitely picking Jim to come out of his 4-13 matchup. Justin versus Curtis is going to be what they call a slobber knocker, because with the inclusion of the Death Guard, I'm pretty sure Justin is going with basically TJ's list.
And then. An Admech, you know what I mean? Custode, that's packing a lot of firepower. And the Admech, he's probably in the Admech, he's probably going to have the detachment that allows him to deny powers on a 4-up. Astra Militarum.
Or he could have sticks and just, you know, rely on explosion with mortal wounds to cut through, to try to cut a way through.
Yeah, no, that's going to be an interesting matchup. That is actually going to be a really good matchup. This is where I throw in my coin flip. I say Tyler goes through to the Elite Eight.
Go with the underdog pick. I dig it. Then we get down to Andrew and his Admech Custodes against Austin Winfield with the Chaos Knights and Chaos Marines. You know, this is one of the ones where, depending on Austin's list, this is one of the hard ones to call, because Austin's list will make a lot of the difference in a prediction. If it's one or two knights and he kind of plays back, that really does favor Andrew, because the Caladiuses will win that gunfight. But if he runs up the board, if he gets first turn and manages to cover a lot of ground across the board right away, then that flips significantly.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Austin.
Really?
I'm
going with Andrew. I'm sorry. It's a two seed. You're saying Duke's going to go down to that, like...
I was gonna say call Duke. look, I mean, if you just think about how much damage you have to do to three knights and then three Disco Lords before they get to you.
Okay. I see that.
Now we are, of course, talking about getting two Custodes, who love nothing more than destroying, you know, chaos everything in close combat. I mean, they're really good at it. But I'm going with the puncher's chance. I'm picking Austin. Right.
That's a hell of a thing. All right, cool. We should we need to make sure we record this, so to see who actually came out on top of that.
Well, my prediction, my prediction's public. I have Jim winning this whole tournament.
Well, fair point.
Next up will be Kurt Klaus against Stephen Foray. Eldar Dark Eldar against Gene Stealer Cult. I'm sorry, Stephen, but I'm pretty sure I know how this one goes because I've seen it before. You don't beat Flydar with infantry list. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
And especially not if he brings Talos's.
All right, so are we down to Nick Nottavati?
Benedict Arnold, yeah. Benedict Arnold against Devin Swan. This one is... okay. This one is really probably as close as we're going to get to a game decided by dice.
I like that.
No, I mean literally decided by dice. If Devin is able... If Nick fails a couple charges... And the Overwatch from Devin hits hard enough. He'll clear his front section right away, and then he'll just have a lot of really cheap infantry running into a lot of Tau missiles. And as somebody who's played enough Guardsmen, I can tell you how that ends poorly.
Just lots of dead bodies.
Yeah. Now, if everything goes Nick's way, everything goes Benedict's way, this game will be over relatively quickly. That being said, I would be remiss to not pick, and I cannot believe I am doing this, Benedict Arnold.
Okay. I mean, I'm totally picking Nick Nottavati. That's not even a question. I'm sorry.
You're picking Code Brown.
I am. I don't like losing. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Okay. Last on the list, we're looking at Matt Shukman against Chris Blackham, depending on how you pronounce it.
Wow.
Chris is normally not a Gene Stealer Cult player, really? By the way. The majority of his events this year have been Eldar or Dark Eldar. So a couple people are stepping out of their comfort zone to play what is most likely just pure, unfettered, concentrated cheese.
I mean, obviously, to play in this invitational, event. It's top 16. It's not like you're not going to get it. Yeah,
you're going to break. You're going to bring what you think is going to do the best. So normally I am not a guy that gives people any slack for playing cheese lists. For this,
if you're not bringing the most ultimate disgusting thing you can think of, you're going to get run over. I mean, why even bother?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
tell that to Austin.
Austin is there, and I am not. So clearly, Austin is a better player. Ergo.
I mean, I wasn't going to say it.
These are some of the best. There's no shame in admitting that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm having trouble with our Matt bracket Shuckman here.
Against Blackham.
Okay, you're taking Eldar. You're taking Eldar over the Gene Stealer Cult. I'm gonna have to vote with you on. I'm gonna have to vote with you on that one.
Looking at the Elite Eight, I have Tony Kopak, Alex Fennell, Jim Tyler, Andrew, Kurt, Nick, Matt. I have 1, 2, 3 Eldar players.
You picked chalk. Shorts. This is what we call picking chalk. It's essentially saying that picked nothing but favorites
over Justin. I mean, that's a bit of an upset. It's just like,
I think that matchup is probably, that's probably the closest one just in terms of player caliber. And that probably that's more. I would not be surprised if those two were seated where they were because they couldn't kind of put them anywhere else. Like as all arguments to the side, Justin Curtis is probably he might be better than a 5 seed, and Tyler is definitely better than a 12 seed.
I'm gonna chime in here just to make sure that our listeners know.
Oh, thank God, we thought you were dead.
I know so little about brackets that I'm just like listening to you guys, and I'm just like, okay, all right, cool. This is normal. This is normal.
Wait. What do you mean? All a bracket is just single elimination. They play. You know, it's a bracket is just Swiss pairings, but it's win or go home. Like, you don't get extra rounds.
Yeah. So we already know for the second bracket, it's probably going to be Custodes versus Custodes, possibly.
Yeah.
My expectation is going to be Custodes versus Custodes, possibly. Though I do.
You're taking John over Alex.
Well, I mean, unless he brings a goofy list. I've played Fennel before, and he's a fantastic player. So I would actually lean on Fennel unless John's list is like wholly designed to destroy Fennels. And to be honest, three Caladius will almost by default, if they go first, be able to down those flyers pretty easily.
They'll probably get two.
That's enough sometimes.
So
there's that. I think that it's going to be coming into the second bracket. I honestly think that it is going to end up being, Demons versus AdMech and Custodes.
Really?
Yeah.
You're picking Tyler.
I wish I would know Justin's list. Without knowing Justin's list,
it's Chaos Marines, Thousand Sons, and Death Guard. Like, tell me that doesn't sound a lot like TJ's list.
It depends. Know that Mission 1, for all of our listeners out there, it's going to be called Invasion. It's Dawn of War deployment. There's six objectives. So being able to jump on the objectives actually is going to be really important. So actually, I take back what I said. Round one, I am going to say that the second bracket might just end up being Demons v. Chaos Soup v. Chaos Soup. Looking at the third bracket, I personally think that it's going to end up being Ganyo and Kurt. So it'll be Eldar versus AdMech Custodes, and then the second bracket game, if that is the case, is basically going to be a recreation of the first bracket's Fennel versus Drawn. And then I think that fourth and final second bracket possibility really depends. I don't know Devin. I don't know Devin's list. If it is true and the GSC are not going to have as many tools in the toolbox as they may have been expecting due to a few FAQ changes, then Tau might have a relatively large head up on Nick. And by proxy also Matt versus Chris. I think that it might end up just being Tau versus Astrayani. So I guess we're going to find out in a few days, but that is going to be my real curious thought on this. Looking at the mission packet for the Nova Invitational, it's going to be interesting for, round one is all going to be about objective scoring. Round two is also going to be about objective scoring, but it's not as much. You know, the difference between six and four objectives is pretty big when you start playing a game of 40K.
Especially with the Nova style rules, where it's about scoring, it's about holding and then scoring more, meaning that these guys are going to be throwing a lot of units, probably having to throw a lot of units to hold these objectives.
It's also
important to note that every mission
that's fairly unique about Nova is that their standard terrain layout is essentially going to be universal, especially for the Invitational. So just look at the map on so you're going to have two line of sight blocking in the middle and just one partial blocking in each corner of a person's deployment zone. And that's it. And you have some scattered forests and then some hills and that's it. So it really depends. Like, it's going to be kind of hard to hide in your own deployment zone, depending on the layout. And it's, that could also have some impediment depending on the type of army you're bringing. Other flyers, I'm not going to care.
I was going to say, these are not nice lists to Eldar flyers. Or these are not nice missions to Eldar flyers, especially against Gene Stealer Cult. despite our pick, I mean, we did, I think we all picked against, we picked against two of the three, Eldar Flyover, Gene Stealer Cult. And as good as they are, you know, it works both ways. Yes, there won't be anywhere for for GSC to hide on those objectives, but it's going to be very easy for them to take them away. So, you know, I think the problem is when you really start looking at what's going to be in those lists, Eldar Flyers don't give up secondary points very much.
No.
That's just kind of the one of the best things about them is like, not only is it very hard to kill them without really dumping a whole army into shooting one of them, just because it's either a 5+ invul or a 6+ feel no pain or a -1 to hit. Like there's so many things that they do to just add that little bit of survivability to troll the shit out of you that, you know, you almost have to pick missions. You almost have to pick secondaries that are, how would you say it, independent of how the dice roll. You know what I mean? So positioning secondaries or reconnaissance would kind of be one of them. Obviously, you're going to take shoot the big ones, but that's like the worst thing in the world for GSC because they don't shoot. Mark for death? I don't see a lot of good choices here for...
What about engineers?
For Kurt and Chris, I have to say it. Or for Steven and Chris.
I can read
they them. Mentioned that they were changing engineers. Where is this? Engineers.
The change for engineers is not for the Invitational. It is for the GT. Oh, my apologies. Oh, okay. It is for GT and Invitational. No.
Yeah.
I did misspeak.
Yeah, they removed engineers.
That's hilarious.
They do say, while 60% of attendees rated it positively in the post survey, we don't consider it to meet our standard of excellence.
Yeah.
Which basically means presence. We understand you enjoy this.
We.
If this very was nice. Industrial Revolution, big like fat cat bullshit.
Okay.
Like,
exactly. Yep. It's like go tell the laborers that we will decide the objective.
Gallon of milk? No, you have a family of four, not a family of eight. You got the exact
second loaf of bread. Preposterous.
Yeah.
Oh my god. What has happened?
Schwartz is not happy with us right now.
No, he is not. Cousins are out of line. What are we going to do?
All right, let's get this back on track.
And I think Tony goes through. So Tony ends up in December.
All right. We are moving on. So let's look at the second round. I think the majority of us, I think we all said that Tony is going through against John, right? Except for Schwartz, who's picking Fennel. I'm picking Tony with guard over anything Tyler, that anyone else ever brings.
Jim just runs right through.
Unless it's Brandon Grant with guard. Like, that's my metric for guard. Jim Vassal against, I picked Justin. I don't remember who you guys picked. And Alex.
Right, but I'm assuming Tyler beats Justin.
Not if it's. So the interesting thing is, I think, like he mentioned when he was here, he has a real problem with TJ's list because the Blight Lords are the difference. If that is what Justin's bringing, which I don't know why you would bring Death Guard without them.
Yeah, without.
If it's Jim versus Tyler, that's a bop. No offense, Tyler, I love you, brother, but no, that's a bop.
I'm just really curious. Without being able to see the list, it's going to be almost like a toss up for me because Admech and Custodes can be crazy good, and like there's going to be a very high handicap.
Okay, so
on that list too, and if you're in the Invitational, you don't need a handicap. If you are in the Invitational, that means that you've done enough to show you that you are a proficient.
You're one of
and
what they're calling the 16 best players in the country.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but
that they could get to go.
That they could get to go. Yeah, that's 1,000% correct. So we're assuming that they're both above average players, and obviously that's going to be the case because we're in the Invitational. So these guys are both great strategists, great generals, but we just don't know their list, you know. And so Justin's.
We know Jim's list.
Well, and yes, but I'm talking about specifically Justin and Tyler here. For Justin Curtis, we're relatively confident with historical data that we know his list. But with Admech and Custodes, with the new Custodes tank, with the variations of different experiments that people are taking from the late, great Jeff, you know, there's going to be a lot of different variables here, and almost like it's almost as though there's going to be some standalones, but there's going to be slight variation between them. You know, there's I'm like what's the over under of them having three Caladiuses? Surprise, surprise. You know,
95 out of 100.
Yeah, but like, what else is in the list? You know, or are we going to be seeing the Boulder Custodes? You know, which would actually be if the oh my God! Why can I not think of their names? The Custodes that have the disintegrators and the bolters that are basically heavy bolters. Shit! Why can't I think of their name? That unit, honestly, like a unit of 10 is like stupid amount of points. It's like over 500 points for a unit of 10. But like that actually would be really good against Death Guard. Like very good against Death Guard. And so, you know, who knows? He might have slipped one of those in. He may not have. We might just have the Rusty 17. We might have a lot more in terms of AdMech here. So there's just, without seeing it again, not too much. But it is also important to note that Tyler's also got Asta Militarum. So he's probably got the Loyal 32.
Oh, he does.
Got the Rusty 17. And I think the rest will just fill out with three Caladius and whatever else.
So with now knowing that he's got guard in there, that does kind of alter how I think that matchup's going to go, to a degree, because it would depend on what he's bringing. Like if it's a lot of tank commanders, so like you know, if it's the battle cannon special plus a lot of mortars, that is a real problem for a lot of chaos lists, just because you can't hide. You know, there's nowhere to hide, and once you start taking. If you get a really good round in on the Plague Bearers, they're never able to soak up as much again. Not to mention, if you just start double tapping with Wyverns all over somebody, good luck.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm picking Jim to win the whole freaking thing. So, like, yeah, no. Yeah.
I'm picking Jim to get out of that second round. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm picking Ganyu and
Ganyu. Okay, good. Glad we agree.
And Ganyu takes out Kurt to go into the semis.
What do we think, Ganyu? I'm picking Austin because I want to see it, not because I think he's going to win. I don't like Austin's chances against Kurt at all. Alex is the only person here looking seriously at Chaos Knights. If you were facing down Eldar Flyers with, you know, what, three Gallant equivalents and three Disco Lords?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just saying it's a tough. I mean, again, like I just wish we could see all the lists, but I'm saying Andrew simply based off reputation and like the meta and everything like that. I'm saying Andrew versus Kurt because I really feel a lot of the Flyers are going to get out of the first round simply because they're so potent. And truth be told, they're facing some pretty favorable matchup, but I have a. In my bracket, none of the Eldar Flyer lists make it. Well, I'm assuming they're going to be Eldar Flyers. None of the Eldar lists make it out of the Elite Eight into the semis. Because at that point, your top eight players, everyone should be able to, in that range.
They should all be able to deal with Eldar Flyers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Andrew Ganyu versus Kurt. Andrew wins that.
Yep.
Nick Natavati versus Matt. Nick wins that.
Andrew versus You're really taking Dark Eldar over you're taking Genius Dealer Cult over Eldar Flyers in a mission with only four objectives? I mean, that's... And hammer.
All right. Let me change that. Sorry, Nick.
So, yeah, no, don't apologize to Benedict.
Matt, congratulations. You made it to the semifinals.
You've made it to the final four. I'm taking Jim over Tony.
Huh.
I'm taking Jim over Tony. Like I said, I got Jim winning it all. Jim over Tony. And I
got Andrew over Matt.
I got, let's see, if I picked Austin and then I have him losing to Kurt, Kurt versus Matt, I'll flip a coin and say whoever of them goes first.
All right. Well, I got Jim versus Gondio in the finals. And
yeah, Jim, so let's speaking
it out.
I've got Jim versus, I'm just going to say Kurt. Jim versus Kurt in the finals, I've got Jim winning that.
Yeah.
So.
At least we agree.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, if you look at round three, it's going to be another one of those, like, where you kind of have to stay close to home. And it's Vanguard, which is that really shitty deployment nobody likes except you.
I don't even like Vanguard. I just think it's not horrendous.
Yeah. I have trouble. This lines up really – honestly, if you just look at matchups, this lines up really well for Jim at worst. He's looking at the only thing – I think he's going to – his biggest chance to lose will be against if Justin comes out of the first round. Because he said that he has a lot of trouble with the equivalent of TJ's list.
That's fair. But A, you're assuming it's going to be TJ's list, and B, you're assuming he can get out.
Well, that's why I said if Justin comes out of that first round. If for whatever reason Alexander comes out of the first, like if he just by some miracle beats Tony, Jim is moonwalking to the final.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm sorry, he is.
I mean, you never know. It's a dice game, for Christ's sake. Alex might just roll nothing but sixes and just be like blasting everything.
He could roll nothing but sixes. I would love to see Devin come out of that bottom bracket, just you know,
no way,
just for a little bit of spice, and to see the look on Matt's face.
Oh, Tau versus Flyers, and then Tau
Flydar. Yeah, good luck with that. Oof. Yeah. So if Devin pulls the upset, he's got a really good look on it. He's actually got a really good look at making the finals.
No, I think he would run into a brick wall called Andrew Gagneau in the semis.
Tau versus Admech Custodes?
Admech Custodes sisters. It's a Gagneau
special. I mean, there's always when you talk about that matchup, you're talking about just you know, it really does become a dice game, though. And Tau have a couple mods right, in there, man.
Fair point. Well, we'll see. I mean, it could be absolutely dead wrong.
Like, I'm not picking him to win it all, but I'm saying if he gets past Nick, Devin's got a chance.
I mean, given my March Madness tournament record, I wouldn't be surprised if I have everything wrong.
March Madness is literally my second religion.
All right, well, you might.
It is my favorite month of the year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right, that's going to be an interesting prediction. It's going to be a very interesting prediction. I'm hoping we can see the list relatively soon to see if we're like dead wrong about
that. And we will definitely do a follow-up episode when we do get access to these lists and post that as quickly as possible. So thank you, everyone. We're going to go ahead and bow out. I am so glad to be back, and we will talk to you all next week. Shorts, go ahead and sign off.
Have a wonderful night, everyone. Stay classy.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.